The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
This is Derek Story with O'Reilly Media, and I'm here at the Olympics, and I'm sitting with a really cool photographer who is an Aperture user. Her name is Mina. Now, she's going to correct me right now, I can tell by the way she's looking at me.
That's right.
She's going to correct me. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Aperture because she has been part of this from the very beginning and she has a great story to tell. So, first of all, introduce yourself, say your name correctly, okay. And then we'll go from there.
Sure. My name is Mine Kasapolu. That's the correct way to say it. I'm a photographer, freelance, based in Istanbul. This is actually my fourth Olympics. I have this sort of lifelong mission to go and shoot all the Olympics, and I decided to start early on so that I could do this like a historical thing. It has to still shape in my head perfectly, but it's going really well and I'm really happy with the results I'm getting here in Beijing. But other than that, I do a lot of freelancing. I work for magazines, I do fashion shoots, I do a lot of different events. And
so when you're here shooting, is there anything in particular that you're looking for? I mean, you know, like some people when they're shooting for publications, you know, they want the wave afterwards, or they want the decisive moment on the event, or some people want more kind of artistic texture. What sort of things are you looking for when you're covering an event?
Every Olympics, it sort of changes, and but the common thing I look for is something real. And in Torino, I was doing a lot of backstage things, just real things that happened. And here, I'm trying to get actually real expressions from the athletes' faces. Like with all my photos, I'm trying to get this the way the athlete or whoever's in the photo looks at you is something that you want to look back at, sort of. Like that's kind of has been my theme in this one. And I don't know how it's going to tie up together, with all of them, but I kind of am not a person who plans everything too much from the beginning. I sort of go with my feeling and then somehow it works. Every shot I've been getting and liking has something in the expression and the face. And then so I'm kind of going with this one now.
So, you know, as the event unfolds then that's sort of, it's revealed to you then kind of what your approach is going to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is exciting because then I get to experience it as it is. It's not like there's this specific photograph I'm looking for and I try to go get that, but I see what comes in front of me and I try to always keep my eyes open to look for the right thing that moves me. And then that ends up bringing me to good places, and then I get some good shots that I think that are good, and then I'm walking around with a big smile all day.
So, and are you shooting RAW files or JPEGs?
Yeah. RAW files. Yeah, I learned that in Torino, that I have to do the RAW files because JPEGs really don't give everything in the photo.
Well, speaking of Torino, so part of the reason why I wanted to talk to you, I know that during those Olympics, the Apple team, the Aperture team, went there and they were working in the media center like they are this time. And among other things, they were showing people Aperture, and people were going, what's Aperture, right? I mean, it's a lot different than it is now. And you were one of those people, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm one of the first customers of Aperture, and I really loved it from the first moment I was taught how to use it. I was having huge troubles editing my photographs, and I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have a good program to do it, to select them, to use the star system. When I saw that, I was like, okay, this is exactly what I need. Because actually, 2 weeks before Torino Olympics, I had this huge shoot for a magazine, and it took me all night to select, just to select. And when I saw how easy it was on Aperture, that's like the first moment it grabbed me like that. Because by chance, actually, the week before, I had this project that if I had Aperture, it would have been maybe 1/5 of the time, or even less, I don't know, 1/10 of the time that it took me to actually select it. I didn't sleep the day before I came to Torino pretty much because of this. And so when I came and I saw, oh my God. And then I had just opened a Mac account by chance, like about 2 months before Torino. And then I realized that through my Mac account, I could put these online so easily. And that's like how I work still to this day with my clients. I have a shoot, I come back home, I select my things on Aperture. And even without doing any corrections, I just put a web gallery so so that they see what's out there and what they want. And then that just saves me so much, because before I used to select myself, do all the work, send it, and then they don't like it, and it just dragged on before. Maybe I didn't know a better way, but now since I know this is perfect for me, it's working out great.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the scariest things that I see right now when I'm working in the media center is I'll go by someone's computer and they have like 100 Photoshop windows open, like 100 photo images. And I'm going, how are you, you know, they're all like that accordion thing.
Yeah.
And you're going, how are you ever going to figure out what your best shot is? And then, you know, how do you market? And how do you deal with all that stuff? Were you kind of dealing with something like that?
That's exactly what I was doing. That's why it was taking me forever. And, you know, the worst thing is you would work on all of them and then the computer would freeze. That's what happened to me. It's too much to deal with. It helps a little bit, the Mac, when you make all them small and then big again. I mean, I guess that's the way you can the only way to deal with it. I have no idea how the people who don't use Mac deal with it, because that helps a tiny bit. But still, I mean, with Aperture, I can see everything. They become small, they become big. I put enough stars. The one star means something to me. Two means something. Five means another thing. I mean, it's really working out great.
Have you found, you know, since you started working with Aperture in Torino, and you know, here we are a couple years later in Beijing, the way that you rate photos, is that the same, or has that evolved over time, you know, in terms of, you know, the one-star, two-star thing? Because I know I used to try to give everything the right star from the beginning, and I figured out that's not going to work. So now I just go through, and either it's good or it's bad. And then I go back to the ones that were good, and then I try to fine-tune that a bit. But I didn't used to always do it that way. I kind of keep changing my system a little bit. Has yours stayed the same, or is it changing a little bit too?
I think for sure it's evolved, but the way I do it, I have a system the way I do it, and then depending on what the project is or what my client wants, the stars can change. For example, there's a first selection, and everything gets a star that's sort of okay, that's goes on to the next level, sort of. And then through them, it's what I like and what my client likes are different stars, because usually what I say for myself is really different than what I think they would want. So that's what the stars sort of mean as well, too. Like, the two stars could mean keep for myself, three stars could mean for client, or something like this. So every project actually has a different thing, so then I have to remember. But then when I look at it, I understand anyway what I've thought before. But, yeah. And one thing is, I had a hard time actually. First, when I learned Aperture, I had learned all the adjustments, but I sort of had a hard time going back to it because I was so used to Photoshop. So I would actually do my selections and then open everything again on Photoshop. But what's now different, when I met Aperture 2 and all those sliding bars, I got so excited because now, like, I just sent yesterday there was the big photo on the sports section in the newspaper in Turkey was my photograph, and that was done. Everything was done on Aperture and sent. So now I'm actually using all the adjustments as well, which I'm so excited about. Especially the vignette at the end, I love, and I just love that. I mean, in Photoshop, some things it takes you 3 or 4 steps, and then if you don't like it, you have to go all the way back and then come back. So with this one, you can. It's just so much easier. I mean, it's so easy that I almost don't want to tell people how easy it is. It's making our job really, really easy.
Well, so. I was going to actually ask you about the adjustments. They were okay when Aperture first came out. Were you using them much then, or is this something that's, you know, really with Aperture 2 is when you really start using the image adjusters more?
I learned how to use them, but I never felt comfortable using them somehow because I was just so, I mean, Photoshop is sort of what I use every day, all day. So it was just, and I love the curves on Photoshop, and I didn't find anything like that here, but now I did. So the black point works really well. For my style of digital manipulation, I needed to use Photoshop. Like, Aperture wasn't quite enough for me in the one, but now I see that with Aperture 2, it's actually enough. And so I really think I can almost do it with everything.
Yeah.
Not never open Photoshop again. I'm so excited because just one program, I mean, that's just really helps me.
And then not only that, you know, the minute you start opening stuff in Photoshop, you're going to have another file, probably, or your file at least is going to get bigger. And the thing that I really like about the image editing in Aperture is that you're not adding file size to your hard disk space. So you can do color correction, you can do exposure, You can add your vignettes. You can do all that. It doesn't get bigger. Have you met Ben yet?
Yes. Actually, it was very funny. Actually, a friend of mine in Beijing told me I should meet him even before I knew he was photographing the Olympics. And then since I'm always around the MAC area, he came up to me and asked me a question, and then he gave me his card, and I'm like, okay, I know your friend. And then somehow it was really funny. Yeah, I met him.
Yeah, so, you know, so Ben is, I interviewed Ben yesterday, and, you know, he got introduced to Aperture here like you did in Torino, and he's really going full hawk. I mean, he's got everything already organized, and, you know, he's going really fast. But we were talking about this yesterday, and that you want to stay in Aperture as much as you can. And then for a few shots, sometimes you got to go to Photoshop. That's just the way it is. But, you know, then you can round trip, and, you know, and the file will come back from Photoshop into Aperture, but it's going to be a big file. So if you want to keep your hard disk space kind of to a minimum, then you only round trip when you absolutely have to. So, and he goes, you know, oh, I totally get that. And so then, you know, he says, but how do I do this? And so, most of the time, there's a tool in Aperture that'll do most of the things that you need.
I don't know. Once you see somebody, or like once you're taught how it's done, it just amazes you, and it did for me. And I'm really speaking, like, I never say anything that I don't think. So it's really like something, really, like I would never say it if I didn't believe it.
I already know that about you just in the short time we've hung out. Hey, I wanted to ask you, in fact, when we were talking about something the other day, you brought this up. So, are Macs popular in Turkey? Or, you know, what's the landscape like there, you know, in terms of Macintosh?
In our field, in photography, yes, very much so. Maybe not photojournalism as much. Somehow, photojournalists keep on using, not Macs, but in the more artsy side of it, or a little bit more design-oriented photography, or like creative side of things, let's say. They're definitely using Macs, and Macs are huge, and people love them. People love Macs.
How did you get turned on to it?
Actually, I had my first Macintosh when they had the Apple, and it was all like different colors, and it was 1995, and I was starting my freshman year in school, in college. Everybody had to buy Mac. All our school was Mac back then, and then they made us buy all Macs, and the next year they all switched. So we were stuck with the Macs, but I loved it because I loved the Apple Connect. I could connect with other people's computers. I still loved my Mac, and I used my Mac throughout college, even though there was that switch. But I caught it right at the end of that first Big Mac. Big Mac.
Well, we are here at McDonald's, right?
Yeah, I guess so. We're not eating McDonald's because I don't eat at McDonald's, but we're sitting in a McDonald's because they are the sponsors. But So I had to switch to a PC, maybe it was 99 or something. And no, yeah, 90, no, from 99 to 2001, I had a low period. And and I had actually a PC. And 2001, I bought my PowerBook. And this was the time when nobody else had it. Like, I kind of just got drawn to it. I actually bought the first iPod ever, like, made. And I bought, like, one of the first, I don't know if it's first, I don't want to lie, but it was either first or one of the first editions of the PowerBook. And all my friends were like, oh my God, what is this? It's like, I was like, yeah, this is my new Mac. Because I just wasn't happy with my two-year experience with my PC. I don't know, I'm just such, really, I'm a huge, huge fan. Since the beginning, since 95, I wish, like, I got so sad. I would still go into those little Mac labs in our school, even though they were getting smaller and smaller, and I'd still go find them. I don't know, I always was. And but then everybody started having them. I was like, okay, now I'm not special. And with the iPhone now and the iPods everywhere, and I still have my first generation iPod, which I'm proud of.
But you were one of the first people to adopt Aperture.
It's really, all my life has been like that. Yeah. Crazy.
Well, it's just been a pleasure talking with you. It's so fun because you have seen things from the very beginning in this area. And, you know, I mean, I think we're all happy with 2.0, and I can tell that you're loving using it. So thanks so much, and good luck with the rest of your shooting here at the Olympics.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you, too.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.